بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. مكتبة الموحدين بالتعاون مع عدة مساجد في منطقة البحر الكاريبي والولايات المتحدة يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذا الدرس الأسبوعي لفضيلة الشيخ علي الرملي حفظه الله، وهو شرح لكتاب التوحيد للشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله. Wahidin Publications, in conjunction with several masajid in the Caribbean and the U.S., is pleased to present this weekly class, which is an explanation of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab's Kitab al-Tawheed by Sheikh Ali al-Ramli. May Allah preserve him. وليتفضل مشكورا مشورا.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، وقفنا عند الباب 33 من كتاب التوحيد. قال المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى: باب قول الله تعالى: أفأمنوا مكر الله فلا يأمن مكر الله إلا القوم الخاسرون. وقال المصنف رحمه الله: وقوله: ومن يقنط من رحمة ربه إلا الضالون. هما مسألتان أو موضوعان ذكرهما المؤلف في هذا الباب. الموضوع الأول المكر الأمن من مكر الله سبحانه وتعالى، والموضوع الثاني القنوط من رحمة الله تبارك وتعالى، وهما أمران يعني متعلقان ببعضه وفهما ضدان. فالأمن من مكر الله هو يعني أن تأمن وأن تشعر بالاطمئنان والراحة بينما أنت تعصي الله سبحانه وتعالى، تفعل الذنوب، ربما تشرك بالله سبحانه وتعالى، ومع ذلك تكون مطمئنا ومرتاحا بفعلك ذلك، ولا تخف من عذاب الله، لا تخف من عذاب الله، ولا تعلم ولا تظن أن الله سبحانه وتعالى يمكر بك. وحقيقة المكر هي التوصل إلى الإيقاع بالخصم من حيث لا يشعر، توصل إلى الإيقاع بالخصم من حيث لا يشعر. فالله سبحانه وتعالى يعطيك ويملي لك، يعطيك ويمدك بأنواع الخيرات ويملي لك، ثم بعد ذلك إذا أخذك لم يفلتك، إذا أخذك أخذك أخذ عزيز مقتدر. فأنت إذا رأيت نفسك في المعاصي وفي الذنوب وفي أنواع الشرك ولم تخف من الله سبحانه وتعالى، فقد أمنت من مكر الله. والله سبحانه وتعالى قال في الآية: أفأمنوا مكر الله فلا يأمن مكر الله إلا القوم الخاسرون. فالخاسر هذا هو الذي يأمن مكر الله سبحانه وتعالى. فالأمن من مكر الله كبيرة من كبائر الذنوب، كبيرة من كبائر الذنوب، وهي مخلة بكمال التوحيد، مخلة بكمال التوحيد، لأن لها علاقة بالخوف من الله سبحانه وتعالى. فالذي يأمن من مكر الله لا يحقق الخوف من الله تبارك وتعالى كما هو مأمور به، خوف العبادة. كذلك عكسه القنوط، القنوط من رحمة الله تبارك وتعالى. ومعنى القنوط من رحمة الله يعني اليأس الشديد، تيأس من رحمة الله تماما. أي نعم، وهذا مخل بالرجاء، هذا مخل بالرجاء. والله سبحانه وتعالى أمرنا بأن نرجوه وأن نرجو الخير دائما، وألا ينقطع رجاؤنا بالله تبارك وتعالى، ونرجو رحمته ونرجو مغفرته دائما. فقطع الرجاء الذي هو اليأس من رحمة الله تبارك وتعالى هذا أيضا كبيرة من كبائر الذنوب، ومخل بكمال التوحيد، مخل بكمال التوحيد، وهما مع بعضهما الخوف والرجاء. نسير إلى الله تبارك وتعالى بهما، نسير إلى الله بهما. ويريد المؤلف رحمه الله بذكر المكر وذكر الأمن من مكر الله وبذكر القنوط من رحمة الله يريد أن ينبه على أن المسلم يسير إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى بالخوف والرجاء. ومن أمن من مكر الله فقد أخل بالخوف، ومن قنط من رحمة الله فقد أخل بالرجاء، وهذا مخل بكمال التوحيد. نعم، تفضل.
Shaykh, may Allah preserve him, began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the Lord of absolutely everything in creation. by invoking his peace and blessings upon the one who was sent as a mercy to everything in creation, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We then said that we have reached chapter number 33 of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Hab's Kitab al-Tawheed. And in this chapter, the author, rahimahullah, he begins by mentioning the statement of Allah the Exalted. Do they feel safe from the plot of Allah? No one feels safe from the plot of Allah except the people who are losers. This is the 99th verse of Surah Al-A'raf. And likewise, the statement of Allah, and who feels, who despairs from the mercy of his Lord except those people who have gone astray. This is the 56th verse of Surah Al-Hijr. Shaykh May Allah preserve him said that these two topics are related to one another, and because they are related to one another, the author has mentioned them in one chapter. The two topics that we mean specifically are, firstly, feeling safe from the plotting of Allah, and secondly, despairing of the mercy of Allah. These two are interrelated. What we mean when we say feeling safe from the plotting of Allah is that one feels at ease, and in spite of the fact that he may be disobeying his Lord, he's not in fear of being punished by his Lord. It might be the case that a person is committing shirk, and in spite of that, he doesn't fear the punishment of Allah. He feels safe. And what it means when we say feeling safe from the plot of Allah, what's the definition of a plot? A plot is seeking a way to attack an enemy in such a manner that he never sees it coming. And so this is what it means, this is what we mean when we say a plot. So Allah may plot against the disbelieving people or the sinful people by allowing them, continuing to give them his blessings without punishing them in this life. And so Allah continually gives people good things. He gives people ease and relaxation in this life. However, if he is to snatch one of those people and to punish them, never will they escape from his punishment. If a person is disobeying Allah, and if a person is committing shirk with Allah, they should fear afraid of Allah's punishment. They should be fearful that Allah is going to punish them for what they are doing. So when one feels safe from the plotting of Allah, he is committing one of the major sins. Feeling safe from the plotting of Allah is one of those major sins which go against one having full tawheed, which go against one fully submitting to Allah and to Him alone. The one who feels safe from the plotting of Allah has not actually realized and has not fully carried out the tawheed with which he was created for and brought into existence to worship his Lord with. And so, this is what we mean by feeling safe from the plotting of Allah. When we say feeling despair from the mercy of Allah, what this means is that one feels that he has committed so many sins that Allah will never forgive him. And this likewise, this goes against and negates one's full submission to Tawheed, because this goes against hoping in Allah. As we said in a previous class, that we should all, part of the way that we approach our relationship with our Lord, that sacred act of worship that we have, and those sacred feelings that we have in our heart towards our Lord, they revolve around three central feelings, which are hope, fear, and love. And so the two concepts that we're talking about here, feeling safe from the plotting of Allah and despairing of the mercy of Allah, these negate two of those aspects. They negate the fear of Allah, and they negate the hope for Allah, and the hope for His mercy. Likewise, when one feels despair from the mercy of Allah, he has committed one of those major sins which negates him fully submitting to his Lord in Tawheed. And so, fear and hope are two of the three pillars that we use in approaching our relationship with our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the author mentioned these things, he wanted to draw the reader's attention to the fact that a Muslim, when he is worshiping his Lord, he must use both fear, and hope. And when one feels safe from the plot of Allah, he is not really fearing his Lord. And when one despairs in the mercy of Allah, he is not really hoping for the mercy of his Lord. Hold on, Shaykh.
ثم قال المؤلف رحمه الله بعد ذلك وعن ابن عباس أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سئل عن الكبائر فقال الشرك بالله واليأس من روح الله والأمن من مكر الله. ابن عباس معروف وقد تقدم ذكره أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سئل عن الكبائر الذنوب المعاصي وخالفت أمر الله تبارك وتعالى تنقسم إلى قسمين كبائر وصغائر. الكبيرة هي ما توعد عليه بغضب أو لعنة أو رتب عليه عقاب في الدنيا أو عذاب في الآخرة أو كان فيه نفي الإيمان، هذا يعتبر كبيرة. والكبائر كثيرة، والكبائر كثيرة، هذه المذكورة هنا بعضها وهي من أعظمها فليست محصورة بهذه فقط. الشرك بالله هو أكبر الكبائر وأعظم الكبائر، وصاحبه مخلد في نار جهنم إذا مات على ذلك، وإذا تاب قبل أن يموت تاب الله عليه، وأن يجعل ندا مع الله في كل ما يختص الله سبحانه وتعالى به، وقد تقدم بيانه. واليأس من روح الله أي قطع الرجاء والأمل من الله سبحانه وتعالى، ولا يأمل من الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يغفر له أو أن يتوب عليه أو أن يرزقه أو غير ذلك في كل ما يخاف ويرجو، لأن في ذلك إساءة ظن بالله تبارك وتعالى. اليأس من روح الله يعني اليأس من رحمة الله، والأمن من مكر الله، هذا على ما تقدم تفسيره، يعني يأمن على نفسه من استدراج الله تبارك وتعالى له، فيمده الله سبحانه وتعالى بالخيرات والنعم وهو على المعاصي وعلى الذنوب وعلى الشرك لا يتركها، فيرى من نعيم الله سبحانه وتعالى يغدق عليه، فيأمن من أن ينزل الله سبحانه وتعالى عليه عذابه، هذا هو الأمن من مكر الله تبارك وتعالى، وهذا كبيرة. واليأس من رحمة الله أيضا كبيرة، هذا دليل على عظم هذين الذنبين وهما اللذان نبهنا عليهما في بداية الأمر. فهذا الحديث دليل على ما أراده المؤلف رحمه الله. نعم، تفضل رحمه
الله. شيخ، وانت تعيد حد الكبيرة؟
قلنا في حد الكبيرة ما توعد عليه بغضب أو لعنة أو رتب عليه عقاب في الدنيا أو عذاب في الآخرة أو كان فيه نفي أو كان فيه نفي الإيمان. نعم.
صلى الله. Shaykh, may Allah preserve him, continued, mentioning the next part of the text of the book mentioned by the author, which was on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about the major sins. So one asked him about the major sins, and he replied sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, committing shirk with Allah, and despairing from the mercy of Allah, and losing hope, feeling safe from the plot of Allah. And the narrator of this hadith, Ibn Abbas, is well known. He has been mentioned previously in the book. And here, the Prophet ﷺ was asked about the major sins. And sins are divided into two categories, major sins and minor sins. What we're addressing here, the major sins, we may define a major sin by any act of disobedience to Allah, which is mentioned with textual proof, along with a threat that mentions that whoever commits this sin, that he will incur Allah's anger or Allah's curse or some punishment, either in this life or the afterlife, or that whoever does this doesn't have any iman. This is the definition of one of the major sins. And there are many major sins. Only a few are mentioned here. And they are not restricted to the ones that are mentioned here, because there are many more not mentioned in this chapter. The absolute greatest, the absolute biggest of the great major sins are shirk. Whoever commits shirk will eternally reside in fire, unless he repents from having committed that before he dies. When a person despairs of the mercy of Allah, this means that he doesn't hope that Allah will forgive him. He doesn't hope that Allah will provide for him. And doing this is having bad thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despairing of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a major sin, just as feeling sink from the plot of Allah is. So when a person feels this, when a person feels sink from the plot of Allah, he doesn't expect that Allah will continue to give him blessings as a form of istidraj, meaning that he will continue to give him these things so that he can fall further and further into sin and farther away from the obedience of his Lord. The person who this happens to, Allah will continue to give him blessings even though he is committing shirk, even though he is committing sins. But that will, he will only be piling up his punishment after he dies. Such a person doesn't feel that Allah is going to punish him. And so, what is mentioned here in this hadith is proof, what the author wanted to draw the reader's attention to, of just how big these two sins are. The sin of feeling safe from the plot of Allah and despairing in the mercy of Allah.
ثم قال المصنف رحمه الله عن ابن مسعود قال أكبر الكبائر الإشراك بالله والأمن من مكر الله والقنوط من رحمة الله واليأس من روح الله رواه عبد الرزاق. هذا الأثر عن ابن مسعود هو بنفس معنى الأثر الذي تقدم عن ابن عباس، لكن ذكروه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهذا من كلام ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه، وهو يبين معنى الشرك، معنى الكبائر التي جاءت في حديث ابن عباس. قال سئل عن الكبائر، الظاهر أن المراد بالكبائر أنها أكبر الكبائر، كما جاء هنا عن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه عندما قال أكبر الكبائر الإشراك بالله. فالكبائر كثيرة، لكن هذه تكون أكبرها. وهنا قوله والقنوط من رحمة الله واليأس من روح الله، جملتان بمعنى واحد، المعنى واحد، لكن ذهب بعض أهل العلم إلى التفريق بينهما بأن قال القنوط من رحمة الله يعني استبعاد حصول المطلوب، وأما اليأس من روح الله استبعاد زوال المكروه. هذا ذهب إليه الشيخ ابن عثيمين رحمه الله للتفريق بين الجملتين، وإلا هي في ظاهرها اللفظي اللغوي واحد، ما في فرق، لكن كي لا يحصل تكرار في كلام ابن مسعود والتكرار لا فائدة منه، فلذلك فسر الشيخ ابن عثيمين الكلام بما ذكرنا، والله أعلم. نعم.
Then the author mentioned a statement of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, in which he said the most major of the major sins are committing shirk with Allah and feeling safe from the plotting of Allah and despairing of the mercy of Allah and losing hope in the mercy of Allah. And this is reported by Abdul Razzaq. This statement is the same in meaning as the previous statement, which was the hadith reported on the authority of Ibn Abbas, and it explains the meaning of the great sins, the major sins. And apparently, what is addressed here are the greatest of the major sins. So it's talking about the absolute worst of those sins. And apparently, both of these statements are addressing the greatest of the major sins. It says at the end, there are four things mentioned here of the greatest of the major sins, four things. Number three and four are despairing in the mercy of Allah and losing hope in the mercy of Allah. In Arabic, the wording is a little bit different. However, the meaning is, in general, the same. However, some scholars say that because the wording is slightly different, that they can't mean exactly the same thing, that there must be a slight difference in the meaning. And so some of them said accordingly that what is meant by the first the first statement, despairing, or number three out of the four here, despairing in the mercy of Allah means losing hope or thinking that one will not attain what they hope to attain. And what it means by losing hope in the mercy of Allah, the fourth thing mentioned here, is that one does not think that some bad thing which is already present will go away. And some of the scholars, including Shaykh Ibn Arzani, rahimahullah, were the ones who supported this idea that these two statements don't mean exactly the same thing, but that there is a small difference between the two, and Allah knows best. Subhanallah.
Al-Mu'allif rahimahullah, باب من الإيمان بالله الصبر على أقدار الله. لا يمكن للعبد أن يثبت على إيمانه إلا بالصبر. فالصبر شأنه عظيم وهو واجب، وهو واجب من واجبات الشرع. لذلك جاء عن بعض السلف أنهم قالوا إن الصبر من الإيمان بمنزلة الرأس من الجسد لعظم مكانة الصبر. فالصبر واجب شرعي أمر الله سبحانه وتعالى به، وقسم العلماء الصبر الواجب إلى ثلاثة أقسام: الصبر على طاعة الله، والصبر على أقدار الله، والصبر عن معاصي الله تبارك وتعالى. بمعنى أن تصبر نفسك على الطاعة وأن تعمل بها وأن تصبر على ذلك، وأن تصبر نفسك عن معصية الله سبحانه وتعالى فلا تقع فيها وتمنع نفسك من ذلك. والصبر على أقدار الله وهو الشاهد المراد هنا عندنا، معنى ذلك أن لا تتسخط على الله سبحانه وتعالى عندما ينزل بك بلاء، لا تتسخط على الله سبحانه وتعالى، ولا تكثر من التشكي تشكو. فالصبر أن تحبس نفسك عن الجزع، حبس اللسان عن التشكي والتسخط، وحبس الجوارح عن لطم الخدود وشق الجيوب وفعل ما لا يرضي الله سبحانه وتعالى. هذا هو الصبر المأمور به، هذا هو الصبر المأمور به. فالواجب على المرء أن يصبر، وهذا الصبر هو الذي ذكره المؤلف بأنه من الإيمان. نعم. تفضل.
Then come to the 34th chapter of the book, which is entitled Part of Having Iman in Allah is having patience with the decree of Allah. Allah the Exalted says that whoever believes in Allah, that Allah will guide his heart, and Allah knows absolutely everything. It is not possible for a servant to remain strong, or even to remain within the boundaries of Iman and faith, until and unless he has patience, sabr. Having sabr, having patience, is an obligation. It's one of the obligations that we have as followers of the religion. It's for this reason that some of the Salaf have stated that sabr in relation, patience in relation to Iman, to faith, is just like the head in relation to the body, because of its great importance. Patience is a religious obligation. The scholars have divided patience into three categories. The first is having patience upon obedience to Allah. The second is having patience upon the decree of Allah. And the third is having patience and abstaining from committing sins against Allah. You should strive against yourself to force yourself to be patient when it comes to obeying Allah. And likewise, you should be patient and force yourself to be patient when it comes to refraining from everything that Allah has forbidden. You should prevent yourself from doing any of that. Likewise, the decree of Allah. When Allah decrees that things happen which you are unpleased with, you should not become angry with Allah. This is part of what he has decreed for you. Likewise, you should not complain. What it means to have patience is to restrict yourself. Restrict yourself from becoming anxious and going against your own desires. Part of the one of the demonstrations of not having patience is when one, for example, as in the times of pre-Islamic ignorance, the people would smack themselves in the face on the cheeks when they were angry at something, or they would tear their clothes and rip them apart. These all go in contradiction to having patience, as we've been commanded to do. And so, it is an obligation upon every believer at Allah to have patience.
قال المؤلف رحمه الله وقول الله تعالى ومن يؤمن بالله يهدي قلبه والله بكل شيء عليم. ومن يؤمن بالله يهدي قلبه أي من أصابته مصيبة فعلم أنها بقضاء الله وقدره فصبر واحتسب يجازيه الله سبحانه وتعالى بأن يهدي قلبه بأن يوفقه للحق ويوفقه للخير. ومن يؤمن بالله يهدي قلبه من علم أن ما أصابه بقضاء الله وقدره وصبر على ذلك جزاه الله سبحانه وتعالى بماذا؟ بأن يهدي قلبه. فما من مصيبة تصيب العبد إلا وهي من الله. ما أصاب من مصيبة إلا بإذن الله. ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها، يعني من قبل أن نخلقها، هي مكتوبة عند الله سبحانه وتعالى، والواجب عليك هو الصبر عليها. فإذا علمت أن المصيبة من عند الله سبحانه وتعالى وصبرت على ذلك جزاك الله سبحانه وتعالى بأن يهدي قلبك. نعم.
Then there is the verse from Allah's book mentioned in the text of the book, which is the statement of Allah the Exalted, that whoever believes in Allah, then Allah will guide his heart, and Allah is knowing all things. This verse is referring to whoever, when at the time of tragedy, at the time of hardship, whenever a hardship befalls a person, and the person knows that this hardship has come from Allah, and this is part of Allah's divine decree, whoever is certain of this, Allah will bless him, and Allah will guide him, and Allah will grant him success in reaching the truth, and he will grant him success in reaching all that is good. Whoever knows that the catastrophes and the hardships that fall in life are part of the divine decree of Allah, and is patient upon that at the time that they happen, then in return for that, Allah will bless him by guiding his heart. And as Allah says, مَا أَصَابَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, that there is no catastrophe that takes place except that it has taken place by Allah's permission. And so, it is an obligation that people have patience upon those hardships that are bound to take place in life.
قال المصنف رحمه الله تعالى قال علقمة هو الرجل تصيبه المصيبة فيعلم أنها من عند الله فيرضى ويسلم. هذا تفسير سلفي للآية. فعلقمة هذا هو ابن قيس النخعي أحد تلاميذ ابن مسعود وكان فقيها رحمه الله، فسر الآية بهذا قال هو الرجل تصيبه المصيبة فيعلم أنها من عند الله فيرضى ويسلم، يعني يصبر. هناك فرق بين الصبر والرضا. الرضا مرتبة أعلى من الصبر، أن يعني يطمئن قلبه ويرضى عما أصابه، هذا أمر أعلى من الصبر، أرفع من الصبر، وهو مستحب، وهو درجة كمال. أما الصبر فواجب. نعم. تفضل.
The next statement mentioned in the text is was made by Alqama, and he said that the aforementioned verse that whoever believes in Allah that Allah will guide his heart. He said that this is referring to a man that when a catastrophe befalls him, he knows that that catastrophe has come from Allah. And so he is pleased with it, and he submits to it. The Shaykh of Allah, he said that this is a Salafi explanation of the verse from the Book of Allah. Because the person who made this statement, Alqama, is Alqama ibn Qais al-Naf'i. He is one of the students of Ibn Mas'ud. And the statement that he made here, that whatever a catastrophe befalls someone, that he is pleased with it, this is a level higher than being patient when catastrophe happens. when some hardship befalls a person, one could simply be patient with it, even though they dislike it, or they can be pleased with it. If a person is pleased with a catastrophe that befalls them, knowing that this has come from Allah, this is a higher level of faith, a higher level of certainty than just being patient with that catastrophe. And this is mustahab. It is preferred for a person to be pleased with the catastrophes that befall them, but it's not an obligation. Being patient, however, with the catastrophes that befall people, this is an obligation.
قال المؤلف رحمه الله في صحيح مسلم عن أبي هريرة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال اثنتان في الناس هما بهم كفر الطعن في النسب والنياحة على الميت. أي خصلتان موجودتان في الناس وهما من خصال أهل الجاهلية وهي من شعب الكفر وهي الطعن في النسب. الطعن في النسب يعني عيب بالأنساب, يقولون هذا ليس ابنا لفلان وليس من القبيلة الفلانية وما شابه. والنياحة على الميت, النياحة على الميت رفع الصوت بالويلات, هذه النياحة على الميت, ويلنا على فلان وماذا حصل لفلان, وهكذا الذي نسمعه من كثير من النساء. هاتان الخصلتان من أعمال أهل الجاهلية وتبقى في هذه الأمة. اثنتان في الناس هما بهم كفر, يعني أن هاتين الخصلتين من أعمال الكفر ومن أعمال أهل الجاهلية, وهذا الكفر ليس الكفر المخرج من الملة, فمن قامت فيه شعبة من شعب الكفر لا يلزم من ذلك أن يكون فيه كاملا أو أن يصير كافرا, لا. فالكفر كفران, كفر أكبر وكفر أصغر, كفر أكبر وكفر أصغر. كفر الأصغر كمقاتلة المسلم المسلم, إذا التقى المسلمان بسيفيهما فالقاتل والمقتول في النار. وذكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن قتال المسلم كفر وقتاله كفر, والمقصود بهذا الكفر كفر أصغر, لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى سمى المتقاتلين من المسلمين بأنهم أخوة كما جاء في كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى, دل ذلك على أن الكفر المقصود هنا الكفر الأصغر وليس الكفر الأكبر. فعندنا الكفر كفران, كفر أصغر وكفر أكبر, وهذا من الكفر الأصغر. والشاهد من ذكر الحديث هنا قوله والنياحة على الميت, وجعلها من خصال الكفر, فهي كبيرة من كبائر الذنوب, لأن هذه النياحة على الميت تنافي الصبر وتخالفه, والعبد مأمور بالصبر. نعم, تفضل.
The next part of the text is mentioned from Sahih Muslim on the authority of Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه, that Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said that there are two characteristics when they are found in people. They are from the characteristics of kufr, disbelief. And they are insulting people because of their lineage and wailing and mourning over the deceased. And so, Shaykh Hafidhullah, he said that these two characteristics that are present in people. And these are from the characteristics of the people of Jahiliyyah, of pre-Islamic ignorance. And these are branches of disbelief. The first that is mentioned, belittling people because of their lineage, saying, for example, this person is not from a tribe of any importance. This person is not the son of any rich person, any important person. Belittling a person, making fun of a person because of his lineage, the family that he comes from. This is an act of kufr, right? Disbelief. Likewise, mourning and wailing over the deceased, raising one's voice and crying in a loud voice when someone dies. This is an act of kufr, an act of disbelief. And it's very frequent that we see people doing this, especially women, crying excessively and raising their voices when someone dies. Our Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he informed us that these are from the branches of disbelief and from the acts of the people of pre-Islamic ignorance, However, they shall remain within this ummah. They shall remain within his nation, that his followers will continue to do these things in spite of the fact that they are acts of kufr, disbelief, and acts of the people of pre-Islamic ignorance. And so whoever possesses one of these characteristics has a characteristic within him of the characteristics of kufr and disbelief. However, we have to make a distinction here that there are two types of kufr, two types of disbelief. There's major kufr and minor kufr. An example of having minor kufr is fighting another Muslim is an act of disbelief. The Prophet ﷺ said that when two Muslims meet with their swords, fighting one another with their swords, that both the one who kills and the one who is killed will be in the fire. Likewise, he said in another hadith that fighting a Muslim is kufr. Fighting a Muslim is disbelief. And what he meant here is that it is an act of kufr, not that the person who commits this act is no longer a Muslim. He has left the fold of Islam. He has committed an act of kufr, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he has left the religion of Islam entirely, because what is meant here is a minor type of kufr, not the major type of kufr. The evidence of this is within the Book of Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he's talking about when two groups of Muslims fight one another, he commands the believers to break it up and to try to reconcile between them. And he calls them ikhwa. He calls them brothers. In spite of the fact that there are two groups of Muslims fighting one another, which the Prophet ﷺ has described as an act of kufr, an act of disbelief, Allah didn't call them disbelievers. And he didn't negate the fact that they're still brothers. They've committed an act of kufr, but it's an act of minor kufr, and they still remain brothers in Islam. And so, this is what shows us that what is meant here is an act of minor kufr, not major kufr. And likewise, when a person dies, and others mourn over that person, wailing excessively and crying and screaming in loud voices, they have gone past they have overstepped the boundaries of having patience. And as we've mentioned, that patience is an obligation. We must have patience. Allah commands us to have patience. And so, an example of not having patience is just this, screaming and crying out loud when a person dies. A person has overstepped the boundaries. They no longer have the patience which would they have been commanded. قال
المؤلف رحمه الله ولهما عن ابن مسعود ظهر أنه يريد لهما أي البخاري ومسلم فالحديث عندهما مرفوعا يعني يرفعه إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني كأنه يقول ابن مسعود عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال كذا وكذا هذا معنى مرفوعا عند أهل الحديث ليس منا من ضرب الخدود وشق الجيوب ودعا بدعوى الجاهلية كلمة ليس منا السلف رضي الله عنهم كانوا ينفرون عن تفسيرها ويحثون على عدم تفسيرها وتركها كما جاءت لأنها عندئذ تكون أوقع في النفس وتأثيرها في نفوس الناس يكون أقوى لكن إذا فسرتها لك يضعف هذا التأثير لذلك كانوا يحثون على تركها كما هي ليس منا وفسرها المتأخرون بأنه ليس على طريقتنا وليس على منهجنا المهم أنها كلمة تدل على أن فاعل الفعل قد فعل كبيرة من كبائر الذنوب ليس منا من ضرب الخدود عندما يموت الميت في القديم عند أهل الجاهلية كانت النساء تبدأ ضربا بخدودها تضرب على وجهها وشق الجيوب وكذلك كانت الواحدة تمسك بجيبها المقصود بالجيب هي الثوب عندما تلبسه المنطقة الرقبة هذه تسمى جيبا منطقة الرقبة من الثوب تسمى جيبا كانوا يمسكون هذه المنطقة بأيديهم ويشقون الثوب هذا شق الجيوب وكانوا يفعلونه في الجاهلية ودعا بدعوى الجاهلية دعا بدعوى الجاهلية يعني ندب الميت يا ويلاه على فلان كان ناصري وكان ظهري وكان هو الذي يطعمني كذا كلام من هذا النحو كانت تتلفظ به النساء عندما يموت لها قريب من أقربائها، وهذا كله من أعمال الجاهلية، فهو ينافي الصبر الذي أمرنا به. الشاهد هو وجوب الصبر وعدم فعل هذه الأمور.
نعم، تفضل. The next part of the text says, and upon both of them, being on the authority of those two, and what apparently is meant here, the Shaykh, may Allah preserve him, said, is that the author is referring to Bukhari and Muslim, because he's going to mention a hadith, and this hadith is mentioned both in Bukhari and Muslim. And so the hadith says, and it's on the authority of Ibn Mas'ud, it has a marfu' chain of narration, that says that whoever strikes their cheeks and rips their collar of their clothing and makes the cry of Jahiliyyah is not one of us. And so what it means that this hadith or that this statement has a marfu' chain of narration is that literally means in Arabic, marfu' means something which is raised. And so this means that this statement, it said that Ibn Mas'ud is raising this statement to the Prophet, meaning that essentially Ibn Mas'ud is saying that on his authority that the Prophet is the one who has made the statement. And so he said that whoever does one of these three things is not one of us. He is not one of us. This means that this is these are grave sins which are being committed here. These three things which you have mentioned are grave sins, because whoever commits one of them, as is mentioned here, is not one of us. They set up, they used to encourage people not to explain what this means. When a hadith says that he is not one of us, they used to say, leave it like it is. That don't explain what it means that he is not one of us. They say because when a person hears this statement, they hear that whoever does this, and they hear that whoever does it is not one of us, it's like it strikes them in the soul. It's very heavy upon the souls, and they hear these statements, and so whichever sin is connected to this, says whoever does such and such a sin is not one of us, it's very heavy upon them, and they would want to stay far away of doing such a sin. And they said that when you explain actually what it means, when you give them more information about it, what it means that whoever does this sin is not one of us, perhaps they wouldn't feel that this sin is as grave. The important thing here, that what is meant, that whoever does one of these three things, whoever strikes their cheeks and rips their clothing and their collars and their clothing and makes the cries of Jahiliyyah, the times of pre-Islamic ignorance, is not one of us. The important thing, what is meant here, is that these three things are from amongst the major sins. When a person would die in the times of Jahiliyyah, the women would do exactly this. They would smack themselves on the cheeks and smack their faces. They would also tear their clothing. What is meant by the collar here, that when one puts on the garment and the part that is close to the neck, during the times of Jahiliyyah, the women would grab that part of the clothing that's near the neck and rip the clothing. And so they would do this because of the death of a person, over their mourning and wailing over the death of this person. And so, likewise, they would scream. A dead person, if they were close to the people, they would say that, oh, what are we going to do about so-and-so? He's the one who used to help us, and he's the one who used to protect us, and he's the one who used to provide for us and spend on us. And so they would cry these things out loud, screaming. Doing this is in contradiction to having patience. We have been commanded to have patience, and these actions here totally negate having patience. Totally.
قال المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى وعن أنس أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا أراد الله بعبده الخير عجل له العقوبة في الدنيا وإذا أراد بعبده الشر أمسك عنه بذنبه حتى يوافي به يوم القيامة. إذا أراد الله بعبده الخير عجل له العقوبة في الدنيا، يعاقبه على الذنب، يبتليه، يمتحنه، ويعني يكون شديد البلاء، ويصبر، إذا صبر نال الخير كله، وإذا قنط خسر الدنيا والآخرة. فالعبد في هذه الدنيا لابد أن يبتلى، كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين. وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون، أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المفلحون. الآية هذه فيها دليل على أن العبد لابد أن يبتلى، وإذا ابتلي لابد له من الصبر، فإذا كان صابرا أفلح وأنجح. فالبلاء حاصل ولابد، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: أشد الناس بلاء الأنبياء ثم الأمثل فالأمثل. وكما سيأتي أيضا في الحديث: إذا أحب الله قوما ابتلاهم. فلا بد لنا من الصبر، نصبر على هذا البلاء، ونعلم إذا علمنا أن الله سبحانه وتعالى يعجل لنا العقوبة في الدنيا بذنوبنا ولا يبقيها لنا في الآخرة ويعاقبنا عليها، فعقابه في الدنيا أهون من عقابه لنا في الآخرة. وإذا علمنا أن هذه الابتلاءات ترفعنا عند الله سبحانه وتعالى وترفع درجتنا، هذا يدفعنا إلى الصبر، إلى الصبر الذي أمرنا الله سبحانه وتعالى به. قال: وإذا أراد بعبده شرا أمسك عنه بذنبه. إذا أراد بعبد شرا، ما أراد به الخير، تركه بذنبه ولم يعاقبه عليه في الدنيا حتى يأتي به يوم القيامة ويعاقبه عليه هناك، ويكون العقاب أشد وأعظم بكثير يوم القيامة. إذن الصبر على البلاء عاقبته خير، هذا المراد. نعم.
The next part of the text here is on the authority of Anas. That Allah's Messenger said: whenever Allah wants good for his servant, he hastens to punish him in this life. But when he wants bad for his servant, he leaves him alone because of his sins, so that he can be punished for those sins in full on the day of resurrection. What is meant here is that people are going to be put to a trial and test in this life. This is something that must take place and always take place. And some people have stronger trials and tests in their life than others. If a person is patient with these trials and tests that come in life, he will attain all of the good that there is in life. However, if he is not patient, if he loses hope in the mercy of Allah, then he will lose both in this life and the afterlife. Tests and trials are something that must take place to the servant. As Allah says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَارِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. That definitely, without a doubt, surely we shall put you to test with something of fear and hunger and the loss of life of your loved ones and the loss of fruits. فَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. So give glad tidings to those who are patient. Different to those who are patient. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. That those who are patient, who are they? The ones that when they are afflicted with some calamity and trial, they say, indeed to Allah we belong, and indeed to Allah we shall return. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. It is those who shall have prayers and mercy from their Lord descend upon them. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. And it is those who are well guided. So what is meant is that trial and tribulation must happen to people in this life. And because this must happen, and always happens, a person must be patient when this does happen. Trials and tribulations, they are going to take place, without a doubt. As the Prophet ﷺ said, that the most severe of people, when it comes to the trials and tribulations that they are tested with in this life, are the prophets, and then those who are most like them. And as will come in a hadith, which we shall study shortly, the Prophet ﷺ says, whenever Allah loves a people, He puts them to a trial and a test. And so if we know this, if we know that when punishment comes to us in this life, that punishment is from Allah, and that punishment is because of our sins, and that Allah, when He punishes His servant in this life because of their sins, He won't punish them in the afterlife. This encourages us to be patient with those trials and tribulations. They're only because of our sins, and if we are patient with them, we will be free from any punishment in the afterlife. So, when we believe in this, this makes those punishments and those trials and tribulations that we face in this life, it makes them seem less, and it makes them easier upon us. And so, the next part of the hadith is that whoever Allah wants evil for him, whoever Allah wants bad for him, He will leave him alone because of his sins, so that on the day of resurrection he shall be punished for his sins completely. And so we have to be patient with the trials and tribulations that take place to us in this life, because they are due to none other than our own sins, and we hope that because of our patience upon them, we will not be held accountable for those sins on the day of resurrection.
قال المصنف رحمه الله تعالى وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن عظم الجزاء مع عظم البلاء وإن الله إذا أحب قوما ابتلاهم فمن رضي فله الرضا ومن سخط فله السخط حسنه الترمذي. هنا يقول إن عظم الجزاء مع عظم البلاء، يعني كلما كان بلاؤك أعظم ومصيبتك أكبر كلما عظم أجرك جزاؤك، يجازيك الله سبحانه وتعالى جزاء أعظم. لذلك كان أشد الناس بلاء الأنبياء ثم الأمثل فالأمثل. وإن الله إذا أحب قوما ابتلاهم، الابتلاء لا بد منه، فإذا أحبك الله سبحانه وتعالى ابتلاك، فالواجب عليك الصبر، لأنه من رضي فله الرضا، فإذا صبرت ورضيت عن الله تبارك وتعالى ورضيت بما نزل بك ولم تتسخط فلك الرضا من الله سبحانه وتعالى، فالله تبارك وتعالى يرضى عنك. ومن سخط يعني لم يرضى، من سخط كره قضاء الله سبحانه وتعالى ولم يرضى به، فهذا له السخط من الله سبحانه وتعالى، فيسخط الله سبحانه وتعالى عليه وله أليم العذاب. فالمقصود الحث على الصبر على البلاء بعد وقوعه، فنصبر كي ننال الرضا من الله تبارك وتعالى، والبلاء واقع ولا بد، إذن فالصبر واجب ولا بد، هذا هو المراد. ولا تنسى عند المصيبة أن تقول كما علمنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن لله وإنا إليه راجعون، اللهم أجرني في مصيبتي وأخلف لي خيرا منها، وفقنا الله وإياكم لطاعته. تفضل الله.
The final part of the chapter is a statement of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, which he said that the greater the reward comes with the greater of the trial and tribulation. Meaning that the greater the trial and tribulation is, the bigger reward you're going to get. And Allah the Exalted, if He loves people, He puts them to a test. So whoever is pleased, then for him shall be pleasure. And whoever is angry, for him shall be anger. This hadith was deemed hasan by Tirmidhi. This means that the trials and tribulations which are bound to take place in life, the greater they are, the greater the reward for them is if the person is only patient. If the person remains patient with the trials that Allah decrees for him in this life, then he will be rewarded with greater and greater rewards according to how big those trials and tribulations are. It is because of this that the people that Allah loves most are the prophets, that He put them to the strongest of tests. and then those who are most like the prophets. When Allah loves a people, He puts them to a test. And so whoever is patient with that test, for him shall be pleasure. And whoever is angry with that test, for him shall be anger. What we mean when we say, whoever is angry with that test that Allah puts him to, means that he dislikes what Allah has decreed for him. And because of that, for him is anger, meaning that he is not pleased with the divine decree of Allah, and likewise Allah will not be pleased with him. What is meant by this is that we are being encouraged to have patience upon those trials and tribulations which will take place in life without a doubt. And we should never forget that when these catastrophes, these trials and tribulations, these hardships take place to us in life, we should say, as the Prophet ﷺ taught us to say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Indeed, we belong to Allah, and indeed, to Him, we shall return. الشطر الثاني من الدعاء يا شيخ اللهم اخلفني اللهم اجرني في مصيبتي
إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون اللهم اجرني في مصيبتي واخلف لي خيرا منها.
So the second part of the hadith, which the Prophet ﷺ taught us to say when these catastrophes, these trials and tribulations, these hardships take place to us, so we should say, indeed, to Allah we belong, and indeed to Allah we shall return. Allahumma ajurni fi musibati. O Allah, reward me in this hardship of mine. Akhlifni khayran minha. And give me, because of it, something better than it. Allah.
خلاص نكتفي بهذا إن شاء الله جزاكم الله خير وبارك الله
أحسن الله إليك إن شاء الله وعلى يرحم السلام عليكم الله يا الله يحفظكم
السلام عليكم
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته